There you go. Around the time Vicki asked me to write this poem, my neighbor had told me about Pennsylvania wildlife webcam for eagles. And this eagle had laid eggs, and they found out where she was going to nest at, and they set up the webcam. And I was enjoying watching the eagle on the eggs, and I got to see him hatch, and they're just these tiny little fur balls. And you know, just to see this eagle sit on the little baby eagles, and that she didn't smother them or squish them, and it just really made to come to life the two Bible verses, Psalms 36:7. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. And Psalms 91:4, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. So the name of my poem is Feathers of Love. As a caged bird is let go to fly into the air, that's how I would like to fly away from all care. When the things in this world get too hard to bear, I want to leave everything behind and no longer despair. As a bird flies high and lays in her nest, how I wish I could follow her and be at rest. When times are tough and I just want to cry, oh, to have wings like a dove to fly into the sky. Up, up, and away, free from the problems of this life and free from this body of clay and all strife. Jesus said he would gather me under his wings as a hen gathers her chickens. That's how he clings. Though I can't fly away with the wings of a dove, I can still be nestled beneath feathers of love. When the dark clouds loom over my head and all hope is gone and nothing but dread, I can fly away without wings to my Savior and pray, and he will take care of me all the way. My Father sees a sparrow when it falls to the ground, and he sees each one of my problems when they abound. He doesn't just see the sand, but he sees every single grain, and he sees every single teardrop when they fall like rain. But soon, very soon, I will break free, and a new body and life will be waiting for me. These bars of bones I am imprisoned by will soon let me go, and I will see Jesus eye to eye. Until then, I can fly away in thoughts to my Savior's love and how he died for me so I can live in heaven above.
She wrote that in probably less than a week from the time I gave it to her. I think she was handing me the poem. So you see, the question is, what do we do when the heartaches come? What do we do when discouragement or trouble or disappointment comes our way? But I should really say not what do we do, what should we do when they come our way. God wants us to turn to him. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor. And I looked up that word labor. That labor means all ye that have grown weary from burden or grief and are heavy laden, and that means overwhelmed. And I will give you rest. And that rest is a refreshment in order for you to recover or to heal. In Matthew 23:27, Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. And he's looking out over Jerusalem. And he says, how oft would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings. See, God's desire is for us to take refuge under his wings. He just wants to tuck us right under there and make everything all right. So he wants to take us and tuck us in. But you know what we want to do, right? We kind of alluded to it. We want to be like the psalmist in Psalms 55:6. He says, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then I'd wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and from the tempest. That's what we often want to do, and that's what the psalmist wants to do. He just wants to get away from it. He wants to get away from the storms of life. A few verses previous to that, it says, it's the same psalm I'm on in Psalm 55. It says, my heart is sore pained. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me. Horror has overwhelmed me. The storms in his life are so strong. His sorrow is so deep. And his heart, it says, is broken. It's completely taken over him. And so he just wants to fly away. And many of us are the same way, right? During the storms of our life, we just want to fly away. Go to a place where there is no storms, where there is no trouble. I have a quick question. How many of you ladies have had natural childbirth? No pain meds, you know, no fun medicine. Is not that one of those times when you wish you could fly away? It's just to say, I'll leave my body here and I'll be back for it later, right? I know when I had my son Abraham, the doctors already had me scared before I even went into labor. My belly was like here. It literally sat right here on my knee when I sat. I quit going in public because everybody would come up to me and say, biggest pregnant lady I've ever seen in my life. Or they'd say, what are you having? Triplets? How far overdue are you anyways? And I still had a month to go. The doctors then would tell me, they said, oh, it's okay. He's probably going to be about 12 to 15 pounds. And then they said, he'll probably break your tailbone when he's born, but that'll be okay. I'm like, oh, no, it won't. It will not be okay. So by the time I've gotten into labor, which was brutal labor because they induced me, I was ready to fly away. And literally for months, if I went to the hospital to visit somebody in the hospital after I had Abraham, my heart would start pounding, my legs would start shaking. I could hardly stand up months after I had Abraham. So you see, those are some of those times when, don't you wish you could have flew away? left your body there and went somewhere else. You know, we often wish for those wings to carry us away, to help us escape. But we don't have those wings, do we? But instead, God offers us a place of escape. He offers us a place of comfort and a place of rest if we turn to Him. Which brings me to my second part of the message. Why? Why would I want to turn to God during these times in my life instead of just fly away? Psalms 111:4 says, the Lord is full of compassion. You know what compassion means? That means He has a heart that is so tender and so easily moved by sufferings of us. It says, the Lord is full of compassion. He has a heart that is touched by our infirmities or our feelings or our sorrow. He wants, and secondly, under there, why we should turn to God, He wants to heal you. Malachi 4:2 says, He has healing in His wings. The wings that He wants to tuck you under, the wings that He wants to cover you with, He wants to heal all of the heartaches that we've suffered through this year and in the past. And then thirdly, why turn to God? While He's healing you, He wants to comfort you. Psalm 57:1 says, O God, be merciful unto me. That means show pity unto me. O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in Thee. Yea, in the shadow of Thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. The psalmist is saying, God, take pity on me. Stoop in kindness to me. I'm going to hide right here under your wing until these heartaches, they go away. Psalm 61:4 says, I will trust. That trust there, it means I will flee for protection to. I will trust in the covert of Thy wings. Try to find the covert of the wings, but in a sense, when you look it up, it means I will trust in that secret place, that hiding place of the wing. And that's what God wants us to do. He gives us these verses to remind us, yet you don't have the wings, but I have wings. And it's there you can find comfort. Psalm 91, and I'm going to turn to that to read it to you. That's always been one of my favorite psalms, especially when my husband used to travel. I would read this each night before I go to bed so that I could be remembered that God was there. I'm just going to read you the first 5 verses. It says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, that's that covert of the wing, he that dwells there, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. It says, he that dwelleth in that secret place. The secret place is that covert of his wings, and there's where we find a hiding place. There's where we find that refuge. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4 calls God, remember, he wants to comfort us. He calls God the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation. The third reason that we should turn to God instead of try to find those wings ourselves and escape is because he wants to comfort you and to hide you. And fourthly, why turn to God? Because it's under his wings I find satisfaction. And once again, I find a rejoicing heart or a joyful heart. Psalms 36:7 says, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust, or their place that they flee to, under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied. That means they are completely content. They are completely filled. If you're satisfied, that means you want nothing more, right? If you say, I'm satisfied, I'm not overindulged, but I want nothing more. It's under the they shall be abundantly satisfied, and thou shalt make them to drink of the rivers of pleasure. It's under his wings that we find rivers of pleasure once again. Another place in the Bible says, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. So it's under God's wings that first of all we find healing. Second of all, we find a comfort and a hiding place. Thirdly, we find satisfaction under God's wing. And fourthly, we find rejoicing and pleasure once again. Now you may say, okay, that's why I'd want to turn to God, but how? How do I actually get under the wings of God? First of all, you need to be one of his. Do you know which chicks a mother hen takes care of? If you grew up on a farm, Lisa's got a farm. You don't have chickens yet though, do you? They just got their farm. You know which chicks the mother hen takes care of? Her own. She takes care of her own. Now, I did a little research on that. Sometimes you can fool a broody hen. That's a hen that wants to set on eggs that aren't really got chicks in. We'll put it that way. Sometimes, if you're really careful, they say you can fool a broody hen by going out in the dark when the chicken's asleep, very carefully pulling the egg out and slipping the chick under. But then you still have to watch, because if the mother hen doesn't take to it, instead of taking to it, she kills it. So, but, you know, you can't fool God. You can't slip under his wing if you're not one of his. So you need to be one of his children, because he takes care of his own. First way to get under God's wing is to become a child of God. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons, or in our case, the daughters of God, even to them that believe on his name. It says to receive there. Receive means that takes an act. There has to have been a time when you actually have put your trust in him. Have you received Christ as your Savior? Has there been a time in your life when you realized that without him, you couldn't have that relationship with God? A time when you realized you were a sinner that was in need of a Savior? A time when you could call on Christ to forgive you and take you as one of his own? Has there been a time that you've done that? The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but it doesn't stop there. We're all sinners, the Bible says, but it doesn't stop with that. It goes on to say, but the gift. And we always like to look at that end part, but the gift. It's a gift. God has salvation as a gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God has a gift. And in order to get a gift, what do you got to do, Elaine?
Receive it.
You just have to receive it. It's not complicated. It's not hard. To become a child of God, you've got to receive the gift of salvation. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So how do you get under his wings, first of all? You've got to become one of his children. Secondly, how do we get under his wings? The Bible says, Trish, why don't you stand up? Sorry. The Bible says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Draw nigh to me, Trish. When she starts towards me, I start towards her. She's under my wings now. So, draw nigh to God. The instant that you turn towards God, you know what? God turns towards you. Once you start coming towards God, God starts coming towards you. So the Bible says, draw nigh to God. You can have to see. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. That's how it is with God. The instant that you turn towards God, God turns towards you. And as you're coming his direction, he's coming your direction. So that's the second way to become, to get under his wings. First of all, become his child. Second of all, draw nigh to God. And thirdly, pour out your heart to him in prayer. Psalm 62:8 says, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is nigh, or he's close by, unto all them that are of a broken heart. When we have a broken heart, God's close by. He's just waiting for you to turn to him. He's there. He sees the tears during the night. He knows when your heart hurts. He knows when that's all you can think about. And he's close by. The Bible says he's nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. And he's just waiting for you to turn to him and cry out to him. And then the next part, how to get under his wings, casting your burdens on him. 1 Peter 5:7, which is a very familiar verse with most of us, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You know what casting is? It's throwing. It's giving it to God. It's not holding on to part of it. It's throwing it all out there to God. So casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I'm going to close with the story of Ruth in the Bible. And I just want you to bear with me as I tell the story real quick. Like, she was a young Moabite woman. She married a stranger who had come to her land. One day, her father-in-law died. What did I do with my Bible? There. 10 years later, her husband also dies, and his brother. At that point, God had still not opened her womb and given her any children. She was all alone, except for one person. She had a mother-in-law, but that mother-in-law had become very bitter and very angry. She even said, don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara, which means bitter. So Ruth, she's all alone with a very bitter mother-in-law. Well, a little bit of time passes. Ruth makes a vow to her mother-in-law that she would always take care of her, no matter what happened. Well, Naomi decides that she's going to move back to Israel, away from Ruth's family. So she's made a vow, so she's going to follow Naomi back to Israel. Well, here in Israel, Ruth, she's a stranger there. She doesn't know any of them. She probably barely knows their language. And then comes in another problem. A lot of the Israeli people, they didn't like the Moabites at that time. They didn't like the Moabites because the Moabites raided and destroyed their fields. As soon as their crop was ready, they would come in and they'd steal all the food. And it would leave them with hardly anything left. So here she is, a Moabite, moving into a land that really doesn't like Moabites too well. And she's so poor when she moves there that she has to go out and glean the fields. In the Jewish law, they had to leave the corners of their fields, and anything that fell, they wasn't allowed to pick up for anybody that was too poor to eat, so that they could come and pick up the food and have food of their own. And that's what she had to do. But you know, in all of this, which is a tough, and this is a true story. This isn't just a made-up story in the Bible. This is a true story. You know, in all of this, Ruth didn't become bitter. You know why Ruth didn't become bitter? And you know how I know she didn't become bitter? She meets Boaz, which is soon, she doesn't know it at this time, is going to be her husband someday. She meets Boaz in the field, and this is what he says to Ruth. He says, "And Boaz answered and said unto her, It has fully been showed me that thou hast done all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come into a people which thou knewest not hitherto for. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel." And he goes on to say to Ruth, "Under whose wings thou art come to trust." Ruth had learned that it was under God's wings that she could take those heartaches and those sorrows, those things that break our heart and cause us disappointment. She had learned to trust and to flee under God's wing. And the choice is ours. We can choose the same. The question is, do you want to fly away? Or do you want to flee to God? It's your decision. I'm going to close with the verse Psalm 11:1. It says, "In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain?" Why would you say that to me, the psalmist says, flee as a bird to your mountain? You know why? He says, I don't want to flee as a bird to my mountain, because I have put my trust in thee, he says. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to the mountain? I hope each of you guys would say the same. I'm going to ask just for a minute if you guys would close your eyes and bow your heads. I started out with two verses. The first verse said, "Come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden." All of you that have a broken heart, it says, that's overwhelmed with grief. Jesus says, "Come unto me." And he stands there with his arms open. In Matthew, when I read to you, Jesus longed to gather the children under his wings. But I didn't read you the end of the verse. The end of the verse, when he says, "How oft would I have gathered you as chicks under my wings?" But it goes on to say, "But ye would not." Which one are we in? Are we there ready to come unto God? Or are we going to reject him as they did and when he said, "But ye would not"? I'll ask you, are you fleeing to God? Or are you trying to fly away and reject his offer? And secondly, maybe you're here and you never have taken Christ as your Savior, but you would really like to. First of all, I want to ask you, do you realize you're a sinner? Do you realize that Christ died on the cross to forgive you of your sins? And are you willing to put your faith and trust in him? If so, I'd like you to pray this prayer and accept him today, realizing it's not the prayer that saves you. It's Jesus Christ doing the saving. If you'd like to accept Christ as your Savior and you want to have that relationship with him, I'd ask if you would pray with me in your heart. "Dear God, I admit I'm a sinner. I know that I cannot save myself. I repent of my sins and put my faith in the blood that you shed for me on the cross to pay for my sins. I now accept you as my Savior and trust you to take me to heaven. Thank you for saving me." Now, if you've prayed that prayer, I would like it if you would share with me that you did. I won't, of course, pester your answer yet. And I'm going to close in a word of prayer, and we'll get on with our program. Father, I just thank you that it's under your wings that we find that place of comfort. We find that place of rest. We find a place where we can once again have a rejoicing heart. We thank you for all you've done in our lives. We pray now you'll bless the rest of the service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Friend, if this message has been a blessing to you, or if we can help you in any way, please contact us at the Antrim Faith Baptist Church, P.O. Box 129, Zellinger, PA, 17272. Or if you're in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania, visit us at our church, 248 West 2nd Street, Waynesboro, PA, 17268, at the lower level of the Renaissance Building. We'd love to have you stop in with us. If you'd like to email me, it's Pastor Herb, PastorHerb, at Embark, EMBARQ, mail, mail.com. Thank you very much for listening. Lord bless you, and have a great day.